You've got your Bibles with you. We're looking at James chapter 2, and we're going from 14 to 18. And if you haven't got the Bibles, it's up there, just in case you can't see it. Before we start with, let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning and the words that have been said, Lord, and I pray that they are implanted on our hearts this morning. I thank you that you're an encouraging God that just wants to love us. I thank you, Lord, that your grace is just enough for us. And Lord, we just want to fix your eyes on you this morning. And through your word this morning, I just want to ask that you just challenge us and just reveal yourself in a new way to us today. And Lord, I just pray that we take on board what you want us to hear, that we can glorify your name in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 2, 14 to 18 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" You know, I've never been a great academic, a great reader. I was going to say a complete failure at school. I wasn't quite that bad. But, you know, the only qualification I left school with was CSE woodwork. Yeah. CSE, that's going back a few years. That's before GCSEs. It was like the thickos O level, you know. Oh. What happened did you get? Because, you see, I love to do. Practical things are what I was born to do. You see, give me a hammer, a screwdriver, and a Bosch hammer drill, and I can conquer the world. You see, I build things, then I go and read the instructions to see if they've got it right. Yeah? I think it's a man thing, but I think that's what we do. But you see, I believe wholeheartedly that action speaks a lot louder than any words do. And it's been a philosophy in my life ever since I was little. Way before I became a Christian, sort of 10, 12 years ago, I had that philosophy in my life as a growing man, to help people, to be out there doing things for people, to put people's needs before any of mine. And that's how I live my life. And I think God knew that, and I think God gave me that gifting way before I even became a Christian. And he's just evolved that as I have developed through the years. See, my favourite book in the Bible is James, because this guy speaks my language. He's a doer. He's the encourager of getting things done. See, faith without works is dead. See, there's a saying, and we've heard it before, I'm going to tell people about Christ, and if necessary, I'm going to talk about it. And it's a great thing. I'm going to put that up somewhere in my house, I'm sure I am. Nail it to the office door or something. See, how do people know what you believe in if you don't demonstrate it? See, it's all very well talking about it, and yes, it has its merits. But generally, if you're like me, it goes in one ear and straight out the next. See, human memory seems to remember something when they see it. That's how God made us. To show truth faith, we need to demonstrate it in a tangible way. That way impacts people. It's a visual stimulus that people can then remember, where seeing is believing. How many past sermons can you remember that didn't have a practical demonstration on it? I'm not putting any pressure on the teaching team at this moment in time that every sermon from now on needs a practical demonstration on it. But think about it. I can't think that many. But if it's got practicalities with it, it seems to go in. But, and here's the but, we have to be very careful our works don't just degenerate into busyness. A number of years, even as a Christian, I can be like Martha in Luke 10. It's nothing to do with where they are dressed on a Saturday night. Just clear that up. I'm a Maggie. No. Because when... It's the vision, I know. You can see me now, can't you? See, I'm busy, running around doing things. That's what Martha was doing. See, I was worried in case I let people down, judged because I didn't meet their expectations, guilt because I sat down for 10 minutes and read the paper. That's how I used to feel. See, I was trying to please man and totally neglecting God. Until I heard a sermon by Joyce Meyer. And many of you have heard of her, American preacher. Fantastic lady. I could listen to her all day. Apart from her voice gets on my nerves, but there you go. Done it, you know what I mean? But the words she brings are powerful. The words she brings are powerful. And the title of this sermon was Busyness or fruitfulness. And I felt God saying to me, how do you know the plans I have for you if you're too busy spending time and not listening to me? See, unless my busyness was bearing fruit for God, was it really necessary? Yes, we all have practical things to do. We've all got jobs and we've all got houses to run and we've got kids to run around for. But are we busy doing what we want, or are we busy doing what God wants? I was allowing what I thought was serving Christ to become just busy work. See, as Christians, we're called to faith and obedience, to obey God and to carry out what he calls us to do in faith. And we need to know what God is calling us to do, to get busy, to spend time with him. Because that's the first step we have to be in. There's no point getting out there and being busy if you're not doing it for God. We need to read the instruction manual first before we start building. But then we need to put into action what he's called us to do. In the way people see our faith. See, we may know all the doctrine and the theology, but if our lives don't demonstrate an obedience in Christ, what good is it to somebody who is hungry, socially rejected, wants their bedroom decorating, wants their garden tidying? You know, it may be the 100th time we decorate a bedroom, and I know somebody who isn't here now said to me some years ago, not another bedroom. Not another bedroom. Not another garden to tidy. Can we do something different? You know, it might be the 100th time we do it, but it's the only time that person has it done for them. And that's the difference. And we have many ministries to choose from. Andrew was talking a few weeks about Servolution, getting out there in the community and doing things. What about the food bank? Launched a few months ago to get people who are not able to afford a meal to be blessed by us, to be practically fed. What about the initiative on the Scott estate? Talking to people, getting out there, knocking on doors, seeing those people who have been totally rejected by society to say, actually, somebody loves you. Acts for justice. What about overseas ministries? Karen and I went to Bangladesh a couple of years ago now. Decorated an orphanage. You know, that thing had more impact on me than it did on them, surprisingly. And the fact that we decorated this orphanage was one thing. The fact that we were out there blessing the people who owned it was the big thing. Because those guys needed us at that point, because they were going through some rough times. But the fact that we were out there doing really made a difference to them. A young guy called Yusuf, and I'll never forget him, I sat on his bedroom, on his bed, and we did a Bible study together. First time anybody's actually sat down with him and just explained some scripture to the guy. And he put his arms around me when we departed and he just said, thank you. Thank you for coming out and doing this for us. It doesn't take a lot. Street pastors. You know, who wants to walk the streets till 3 o'clock in the morning? When you've got to get up for work in the morning, having done another 12-hour shift beforehand. As Andrew said, the unreasonable. And you may be thinking, oh, I can't be doing that. Drunkards, idiots out there till three. I tell you now, it's a good job Dave Much isn't here. And Andrew, close your eyes for a minute, mate. It ain't for me either. I struggle with street pastors being out there. But I tell you what, I'll do it. If it means bringing people to Christ, to the gospel, I'll do it. You know, God really challenged me to get out there on the streets, and I'm not a conversationist. I don't like conversation. I'm quiet. I am. I don't like... I'd rather be here setting up and setting down than being out in the tea and coffee room, if I'm honest. Because that's me. I do. I talk. I don't talk. I do. But I tell you what, there's people being blessed on the streets because of us. It doesn't have to be big or organised either. Have you heard of ARC? Acts of Random Kindness? What's the film? Not Bruce Almighty, the other one. They write in the sand, don't they? ARC, with circle around it. Acts of Random Kindness. You know, Wendy and I were coming back from Edinburgh. Weekend away. We actually had a weekend away. And we're coming to the train station. We're changing stations at Preston. And to go from one platform to the other to get home, it's up the mighty stairs, across the bridge and down again. And at the bottom of the stairs are this elderly couple with a huge suitcase. And he's looking at it. He said, you know what, I'm just going to carry it for the guy. So I went up to him and went, he said, you want your suitcase carrying it up to the other platform? Oh, please, would you? So I just literally carried his suitcase and mine. all the way back down again. And he said, you know what? Thanks so much. You know, it doesn't have to be a massive thing. Mom's struggling with Morrison's, I spotted, in the car park. Kids running around her feet. She's got bags of all sorts going on. I said to her, do you want me to pack your boot for you? Oh, would you? You know, it isn't rocket science. It's just being aware of people's needs and being out there doing it. A child in front of me in the supermarket queue, buying a packet of sweets. She was 20p short. There you go, there's 20p. It's so easy, folks. It's so easy. Yet we seem to just be blinkered in what we want. The last thing Jesus says in Matthew is not sit there and wait, but go. Go and make disciples of people. By definition, it is a doing word. It's what we need to be active in our faith. And do you know how to be active in your faith? Read the Gospels. Because in there, you'll see the life of Jesus, who did the Word. The invisible God, who made himself visible to us through Christ. See, God understands that we as humans need to see things to believe it. And what did Jesus do? Well, the first thing he did was sought the Father's heart. The first thing he did, whether he was in a boat, up a mountain, in a garden, the first thing Jesus did was go and find what the Father's heart was. He spent time with God so that in faith he could be obedient to act. That's exactly what he did. He took then the Word to the streets. And in the past few years, this fellowship have had a vision. And it was broken down into years. And the first year was prayer. We then looked at the Holy Spirit. We are just in a year now finishing with worship. And all those years, it's all about seeking God's will. Spending time with God to seek what he wants us to do. He wanted us to be the Mary of the story. To be at Jesus' feet. To get there and understand what he wants us to do. And all these things are still needed and will be needed for the years to come. And it's given us a foundation now as a fellowship to go and act in what God wants us to do in this next year of serving. Because having sought God this year is about serving the community and serving the church. Putting our faith into action. It's about getting busy doing God's work, being intentional with our faith. See, we can sit here in E1 all morning and we can praise and worship, and it's great, and we need it, and it's credible because we need to encourage each other. But in other ways, it's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Because, you know, with street pastors, we come under attack. I felt it again on Friday night. Jane and I think Jane's gone out, is she? Talking to the two doormen, young guys, Joe and John. And those on street pastors will know who we're talking about. And we were that close to giving their lives to Christ on Friday night. They were that close. They are ripe for picking. And I was stood there talking to Joe about reading the gospel and getting to know the character of Jesus. Jane was talking to John about demons and the enemy and all that carry on. And you could see the lights going on. You could see it in them. In fact, we prayed that Saturday night street pastors would carry on going where we left off. But, you know, the minute we finished with them and walked round the corner, we came under attack. Because Damien, another guy that came out with us, and Jane came under total verbal abuse because of it. By this young guy stood outside the Queen's head, or the Queen's or whatever. And he was having a real go at them both. And you know what? It's the enemy that is running scared. It's not the young guy, it's the enemy that's running scared of us. Because we have the authority and the power of Jesus Christ while we're on the streets. And he doesn't like it. And we need to be armed with the Word before we go out there. Then we demonstrate the life of Jesus to people. Because out there, folks, is a real world. A hurting world. And it's one that Jesus came to die for. And this next year, it is time to nail our colours to the mast. To put our money where our mouth is and start bearing fruit for the kingdom. We need to claim back enemy ground that he's taken back for ourselves and be a blessing to a broken world. A light that shines. Show people that God cares for them, loves them, and that he was willing to die for them. I'm going to leave you now with Matthew 25, 34 to 40. And I want to read this to you. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared by you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did you see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothing you? And when did we see the sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did these for one of the least of these my brothers, you did for me. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that it lives. And Lord, I want to thank you for the ministries that are already out there impacting the world now. And I pray that you bless them as they encourage these people who are leading them now. Because we want to impact a dying, hurting world, Lord. Because you died for them. You love them. And we are the ones who can do it. Not through our own strengths, but just by looking at you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come now and just fill us once again. Empower us. And let us just impact these people who don't yet know you. In Jesus' name, amen.